So, topic for this morning is Ribbis and Nachrim, Ribbis and non-Jews. There are a few different parts to the conversation that we're going to have. Number one is the straightforward question of whether one is allowed to lend money to non-Jews and charge interest, whether one is allowed to borrow money from non-Jews and pay interest. That's the first section of this, which will ultimately lead to the practical question of taking that to what actually is done. As we'll see, it's not so straightforward. Then a brief note on the issue of Mumar, what the rules are regarding a Jew who rejects the Torah and rejects mitzvahs, and what's his status in terms of these laws. And then third, the issue of a bank that has Jewish and non-Jewish investors, directors, shareholders, and how you handle loans with Ribbis within that. Next week, God willing, we're going to get to the issue of Arev, the guarantor, and that's a whole other discussion in terms of the laws of Ribbis, which blends into the discussion about non-Jews. But really, this is first, and then after that, we get into the issue of guarantors and you know, Dalet Sar B'Shaitel, let's deal with this problem right now. Okay, keep in mind that this is recorded. Just in terms of the questions that you ask and the things that you say, know that you are on the record. Okay, so it seems straightforward that a Jew is allowed to charge a non-Jew interest in terms of the laws of the Torah. I brought you the first three sources, just straight psukim, right? First in Parashas Mishpatim, in Kesef Talbeas Amias Heoni Imach Lo Sielo Kenosha, when you lend money to my nation we assume is a Jew, the end of the pasuk, Lo Sistimun Alav Neshech, don't put the bite on him. So to speak, and we understand, as we've discussed before in the Gemara Bava Metzia, it makes clear that neshach is another word for interest. So I am not allowed to charge interest to a Jew, a member of my nation. Source Beis, Parshas Emor, Parshas Bahar, V'chia Much Achicho Matayah Do'imach, when your brother becomes indigent, you shall strengthen him, you shall hold on to him, dot, dot. Al tikach meito neshech v'tarbid, do not take from him interest. So when you're dealing with your brother, you're not allowed to take interest from him. And then finally, the source Gimel, this is Parshas Kitese, Lo sashich le'achicha. Now, lo sashich le'achicha is a little bit difficult to translate. If I were to take the JPS translation, I would say, do not charge interest to your brother. Meaning, do not, and I actually looked it up just to make sure, and yeah, that's the way they take it, is do not lend money and charge interest. That's what lo tashich sounds like. Nonetheless, as we'll see, the way that the Gemara takes it is the opposite. Do not pay interest to your brother. That's what it's saying. Meaning, don't borrow money for ribbis terms to your brother. Neshach kesef, neshach ochal, neshach kol davar sheyishach, the different varieties of neshach, which the Gemara discusses. And then, lanochri sashich. For a non-Jew, tashich, now I'm going to take tashich, the same way I took it in the first part of the pasuk, which means don't pay ribbis. It sounds like it means don't pay ribbis to a nachri. You should pay interest to a nachri, is what it sounds like. Ulachicha lo tashich, but not to your brother. Hey, is what it sounds like. The Gemara is going to go through that, but that's what it sounds like from the pasuk. And so I have a Mishnah which says explicitly in source Dalet, after the business about Tzon Barzel, which is a nice discussion in its own right, but not relevant for our discussion, the second half of the line in source Dalet, Velovin mehen umalvin osan beribis. You may borrow from them, and you may lend to them for ribis, v'chein beger toshav, and the rule will be the same even for a ger toshav being a non-Jew who chooses to live in Israel and observe the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So the rule is that the prohibitions against interest are specific to the Jewish people, and the distinction makes sense. Without reopening our discussion from many months ago about the nature of the prohibition against loans with ribbis, fundamentally, lending money and not charging interest is generally seen as an act of self-destructive philanthropy, also known as economic suicide. Because in general, lending even with interest is an act of chesed. In the sense that you, when you lend money, you're helping out the borrower, you're losing the opportunity cost, right? What you could have done with the money in the interim, you're losing the rate of inflation, you make it up by charging interest. If you do it without interest, then you just have loss, right? Unless you're a bad investor and you're saving yourself from making bad investments with that money in the interim, otherwise, what in the world have you gained by doing so? So our demand is, do this for family. Don't do this for the entire world. Right? You won't survive. For the world, it's enough that you lend to them at all, which is already a chesed. You know, how many times do I have to hear the commercial on 680 about somebody calling up and asking for his loan to be approved? Right? This is what people do. People will throw themselves at your doorstep and say, please charge me interest if only you will lend to me. That's already seen as a generous thing to do. And in fact, we're going to see this when we talk about the case of the Mumar, right? That it's hard to get away from somebody who wants to get a loan from you. Right? They'll be angry at you if you refuse to extend them a loan. So the fundamental point here is that that you are expected to go above and beyond as a beneficent act of some kind. And again, Ayin Shum, go back to this, was partially discussed in my opening shiur, was fully discussed in Rabbi Ziering's opening shiur, in terms of the nature of the Issur Ribbis is. But fundamentally, this is a chesed that you do, that you are obligated to do for Jews. This is not something that you do beyond that. It's worth noting that the Meiri does not do here what he does in other areas of financial distinctions between Jews and non-Jews. Meaning, the Gemara has a range of ways in which the way you deal with a Jew is different from the way you deal with a non-Jew. Rabbi Dr. Aaron Levine points this out in his Oxford Handbook of Judaism and Economics, which is a great title. I'm annoyed he got it for his book before I would be able to use that for mine. But on pages 12 and 13...
Well, you have the time to write it, you're safe.
Right? Yes. The pages 12 and 13 of this book, he points out that if you take a look at source number Hey, source Hey, this is the Meiri dealing with general financial distinctions, including Hashavas Aveda, taking advantage of Ta'ut, meaning there are certain rules regarding returning lost objects for Jews. Or returning if they give you money that you're not entitled to. By accident, there are certain obligations that you have towards a Jew who gives it to you that you don't have for a non-Jew who gives it to you. And there, the Meiri writes, as seen in Hey, Nimsa Sha'af Ovdei Ha'elilim V'Sheinam Gidurim B'Darachei Hadassos Asur L'Gozlam. He says, you're not allowed to steal from anybody. Jew, non-Jew, atheist, idolater, it doesn't make a difference. V'Nimkar Lo Yisrael Asur L'Atzeis Miyado B'Lo Pidyon. You know, if a Jew is sold as an Eved to a non-Jew, he can't just walk away. He has to be redeemed, as the Torah tells us. And if he lends you money, you're not allowed to just say, well, I'm ignoring this and I'm not paying him back. The only thing is, I'm not obligated to go looking for his lost object and get it back to him. That I'm not obligated to do. He says, even if I find it, I don't have to give it back. Because finders keepers, finding it is already, to a certain extent, an element of acquisition. And giving it back to him, that's something that's a nice thing to do. But he says, I don't have to do that to somebody who doesn't have... Dust doesn't have to mean religion / law. If they are not acting in a civilized way, that may be the best way to translate it. If they're not acting in a civilized way, I don't have to go above and beyond for them. But then he continues in the second part of source Hey, Hakol Shehu Me'amamin Hagidurim B'Darchei Hadas. If they are civilized, V'Ovdei HaElokus Al Ezet Zad, and they are God fearing people in some way, even if it's not my God, I would. Went back and forth as to whether to put in a hey or a kuf in that word, whether it's elokus or elohus, I wasn't sure.
says.
But if he is a civilized, God-fearing person, Ava Pisha Emunasam.
It's eloquent.
Yeah, I think so. But look at his next phrase.
Because Ovdei Kochavim are excluded.
And understood, but look at his next phrase. Ava Pisha Emunasam Rechoka Me Emunaseinu. That's why I'm troubled.
Right, but not I don't.
Even though their faith is far from ours. Yeah, no, I mean, as you see, I ended up with eloquent. But I think it's an interesting question. But his point is, if they're civilized and God-fearing, even if they don't believe what I believe, Einam Bichlal Zed, they're not within this category. The category of people whose lost objects I don't have to go after, the category of people whose mistakes I don't have to try to replace. Ela Harehimki is Yisrael Gomer L'Dvar Melu. They are considered like Jews. Af Baveda, Af Betel, so the whole Shara Dvar Beloshim Chaluk, without any distinction. Now, there is a lot of literature on what Meiri wrote here, and on the way that it has been used down through the centuries since then. Yeah, in different contexts, so that you will find the Aruch HaShulchan and many others writing in the last 100 to 200 years who applied this idea of Meiri in many circumstances beyond what he wrote. And the question is always, are they serious, or is this something written to avoid having their books burned? The Meiri is 100% serious. I think it's very clear that the Meiri is serious. The question is the use of it beyond the time of the Meiri, but the Meiri himself is solidly behind this idea. If you want references, I can give you articles on the topic. Jacob Katz is well known for his work on this exclusiveness and tolerance and so on. Jerry,
you have in Western society today where people are civilized but not religious.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because of religion. It's because
correct. So, and the question is, what will Meiri do with it? Like I said, there's a lot of literature on this. But my point in bringing it is that he didn't quote the Ribbis rules here. He didn't say anything about how this would apply regarding Ribbis. And if you take a look in Vav, he says on our sugya, Yisrael v'goy shabo lilbos mi Yisrael. If a Jew and a non-Jew come to you to borrow money, and that's a case that Gemara is going to discuss, v'yem shor l'kayim mishtayin, and you can't extend loans to each of them, so he says the mitzvah is to give the free loan to the Jew first, rather than give the loan with interest to the non-Jew. But he says lending to a non-Jew and charging interest does have a mitzvah aspect to it, and it is an ethically good thing to do. He came to you, don't send him back empty-handed. It's just that you are not commanded to lend to him for free. So what he says is, you do have a mitzvah of helping them, you do have a mitzvah of lending to them, you do not have a mitzvah of lending him for free. That far he does not go. I am not obligated to lend in without charging interest. Lend? Yes, that's a chesed. Not charging interest? That's self-destructive. For Jews, I have to be self-destructive. For the world, I do not. Clear?
Well, yeah. Why don't we just look at it as family? I mean, the idea...
That is the way we look at it.
Yeah.
It's precisely the way... I don't think I used the word family in the last, 10 minutes, but that's exactly what I mean. Correct. Indeed, though, to go a step beyond it, it may even be a mitzvah to lend to them charging interest. Now, there is actually a separate issue which Tosfos points out, which is, I have a prohibition in the Torah called Lo Sichanim. Right? Lo Sichanim, Parshas Vayeschanan, which you could render most simply as do not give them favor, or do not show them chen, do not show them favor. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says there are three different applications of this mitzvah of Lo Sichanim, and one of them is Lo Sitei Lem Matnas Chinam. Do not give them gifts for free. Meaning, Hashem has given you assets, they are meant to be used for fulfillment of the Torah's mitzvos. You don't give them away to people who are going to use them for pursuits other than the Torah's mitzvot. So you have been given your wealth for a reason. So, on this point, Tosfos notes in Source Zion, I'm not going to go through his first half of the Tosfos, because that relates to the sugya, which we're going to see in just a few minutes, but the point that he does make is, actually, you know what, I do need to, in order to make this line make any sense. The Torah says, lo tashich, which our Gemara understands to mean, do not pay them interest. So, Lo tashich, the Gemara asks, this is the Gemara that tells us this is commenting on. Lo sagi de lavachi. Lo tashich to us, right? But to them, I added in the words in brackets and I added in the wrong word. It shouldn't say lo tashich, it should say la nochri tashich. To the non-Jew, you should pay interest, is the way that we're reading that line. And the Gemara asks, lo sagi de lavachi? Well, that has to be so. You couldn't have another option. If a non-Jew says to you, I want to lend you money and I don't want to charge you interest, you have to say, no, I'm paying you interest. That doesn't make any sense. The aval-i, it's tishoch la-nochri. Tishoch, but if it was tishoch, meaning to charge him interest, then nechav line would make sense. Dilo sagi, dilo tishoch. Because you're not allowed to lend to the non-Jew without charging him interest. Why? Da'aser lahalbos lo b'chinam, because you can't lend to him for free. Why? Ked amar kra lo sichanim. The Torah says, lo sichanim, that's the prohibition. You're not supposed to give him matnas chinam. You're giving him a gift for free. So in general, there's that prohibition against lending without charging interest because you're taking the assets Hashem gave you for the Torah's purposes and you're giving them to someone who's going to use them for some other purpose. There is discussion about where lo sichanim applies and does not apply. What if there is some benefit to you? What if he's your friend? What if whatever? That's its own discussion, which is beyond the pale of right now. Yeah. Isn't this year on lo sichanim?
Isn't lo sichanim talking about adversaries?
Not necessarily. In context, the argument can be made, Hashem is speaking about the seven nations.
Right.
And so there is a discussion about whether lo sichanim applies beyond the seven nations. But again, this isn't the shir on lo sichanim. I just had to note this, because if you make the shir all about ribbis and you ignore lo sichanim, you're missing a piece of the picture. Okay. Separate from lo sichanim, from the prohibition against giving out free gifts, there is a separate point, which is a mitzvah saseh. There is apparently some kind of a commandment, and it depends on how you understand a sifri. Source Ches, the sifri, Medrash on Sefer Devarim, talks about one of the psukim we already saw, Lanochri sashich, ulachicha lo sashich. You shall, again, Lanochri sashich, meant you shall pay interest to them. But here we're taking it as you shall charge interest from them. Lanochri sashich mitzvas aseh. The Sifri says there is a mitzvah of charging the nochri interest. Ulachicha lo sashich, but not to your brethren, that's mitzvas lo saseh. That is a prohibition. So how do I understand this Sifri? So in order to understand this Sifri, you have to go through our Gemara, which we had to see anyway. So we're going to see our Gemara, and this is going to be what sets the stage for everything else. Source test. Bav Metzia Ayin Amud Beis. They bring you a pasuk from Mishle. Marbeho no b'neshech v'tarbit, a person who increases his wealth through interest. L'choneina dalim yikavetzenu. He is gathering it for Chonein Dalim, the one who gives to the needy. Meaning he's not going to get to keep the wealth that he thinks he's getting. If you make your money off of interest, you should know you're going to end up giving it away anyway. Maila Chonein Dalim, who is this Chonein Dalim you're giving it to? I'm a Rabbi Gon Shabur Malka, like the Persian prince. Meaning it's all going to taxes anyway. You think you're making money, but you're going to end up giving it to the CRA. Don't kid yourself. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Li Huna, and here's a key line. Rav Nachman said the following, quoting Rav Huna. This is the first of two statements that we're going to get from Rav Nachman quoting Rav Huna. Lo nitzricha ella da'afilu ribiz dinochri. He says, when it says here, you should know, you're not going to get to keep the money that you make from lending on interest. That means, even if you lend to non-Jews and you make money from their interest, sounding like I'm not supposed to charge non-Jews interest. Right? That's the implication. So, Eisei Rava L'Rav Nachman, Rava says to Rav Nachman, what are you talking about? I have a pasuk, Lanochri Sashich. Right? So the Gemara says, Tashich. What does Tashich mean? Lav Tishoch, doesn't it mean charge them interest? Put the bite on them? And it's saying, Lanochri Tashich, you should do that? No, not necessarily. What it actually means is Tashich, which is to say that you should pay them interest. So the Gemara's question is, You're telling me I should not charge them interest. Lanochri tashich means I should charge them interest. So the Gemara's answer is no, no, no. Actually, what it means is pay them interest. To which the Gemara asks, this is what we saw in Tosvos. Lo sagi de lavachi. I wouldn't be allowed to do this otherwise. If the non-Jew said to me, here's an interest-free loan, I wouldn't be allowed to take it. I have to say, no, I'm paying you interest. So the Gemara's answer is, Lanochri tashich is lafuke achicha delo. What it's saying is, you pay him interest, but you don't pay your brother interest. So the pasuk is in fact saying, pay interest to non-Jews, don't pay interest to Jews. That's the way to read it. To which the Gemara said, I didn't need that pasuk to teach me that. Achicha behayiksiv beul achicha lo sashich. I have a pasuk that says, don't pay interest to your brother. Yeah, lavra lav base velo sase. Now you have a matching set. You have a prohibition, lachicha lo sashich, and you have an asay, lanachri sashich. In other words, and this is the key for our purposes, right? At this stage in the Gemara, we've already completed what we need in order to understand the Sifri. The pasuk that says lanachri sashich isn't a mitzvah asay, saying extend loans with interest to non-Jews. That's not what it's doing. Rather, what it is a lav haba michlal asay, essentially, or an asay haba michlal asay, depending on how you look at it. But it's teaching me extend loans with interest to non-Jews when it comes and pay interest to non-Jews when it comes to Jews. Don't do that. That's the mitzvah that I am learning at this stage in the Gemara.
If I do it to a Jew, I'm over an asay as well as a asay.
Apparently, yes. Yeah. That's the idea. That's the idea. So I get an assay out of it. Now, we don't really need the rest of the Gemara at this moment, but I'm going to go through it just because it's here on the source sheet and it's easier than scrolling back and forth. But just to go through the rest of the Gemara then quickly. Esve, the Gemara challenges and says, so you're telling me that Rav Nachman is saying, Rav Huna says, really it's better not to lend money to non-Jews and charge interest. Lovin mehenu malvin osim baribis v'chein b'ger toshav. You saw the Mishnah. We quoted the Mishnah already earlier. Right? The Mishnah said explicitly that we do borrow from them and lend to them with interest. So Amar Rachia Breder of Huna, Rachia Breder of Huna says, no. The Mishnah is Lo Nitzricha Ella Bichdei Chayav. The Mishnah is talking about where you extend the loan that you need in order to survive. Meaning that financially you can make money on this loan by charging interest to the Nachri, to the non-Jew. That's what you should do. But only if you need it in order to survive. The Mishnah is talking about what you need it to survive. Rav Nachman is not. Ravina gives me a second answer. Ravina amar hacha b'tamid chacham maskinan. Ravina says, no, we're talking here about Torah scholars. Meaning, tamid chachamim are unique. There is a general rule of don't lend money to non-Jews and charge interest, even though the Torah allows it. But tamid chachamim are allowed to do so. Got it? Are we clear about what's being said? What we're saying is, even though Rav Nachman is saying don't lend money and charge interest, but our Mishnah says you do charge interest, either our Mishnah is talking about where you need it for survival, or alternatively our Mishnah is speaking to Talmidei Chachamim, and now they explain what we're talking about and why there is such a rule about not charging interest. So Taima Mai Gozer Rabbanan. Why did the Rabbanan make a decree not to engage in loans for ribis with the non-Jew? Shema Yilmo Mimasav. We're concerned that you might learn from the non-Jew's conduct. But if you're a Talmid Chacham, you won't learn from his deeds. We're going to come back to that concept again. We're just seeing this Gemara right now to complete the Gemara. We're in source test, Pesach. Some, though, said that actually Rav Huna's point, Rav Nachman quoting Rav Huna, was actually in an entirely different context. It wasn't in the context of the discussion about Ribis Dinachri Marba Hono B'Neshech V'Tarbis. It was a different point. As follows. The Tani Rabbi Yosef taught, in Kesef Talveyas Amiyas Ha'ani Imach, the pasuk we saw before from Parshas Mishpatim, when you lend money to my nation, to the pauper with you, Ami v'nachri ami kodem. If you have a choice between my nation and the non-Jew, lending to my nation comes first. Ani v'ashir, what if there's a wealthy person and a needy person? Ani kodem, you lend money to the needy person first. Ani yechav ani yeircha, what if it's a relative of yours versus somebody in the general city? Ani yechav kodemin, so the one who's related to you is first. Ani yeircha ani yeircheres, your city versus other cities. Ani yeircha kodemin, your local aniyim come first. We can have a shir on tzedakah at some point and discuss the applications of this and where ani yeircha yisrael fit in and so on. But that's the statement. In other words, Rav Huna was not talking at all about a discussion of lending to non-Jews and whether you charge interest or not. Rather, he's talking about Rabbi Yosef, when Rabbi Yosef says that you lend to Jews before you lend to non-Jews. So Amar Mar, on that we say, Ami v'nachwi ami kodem, my nation comes first, Pshita. Why isn't that obvious? He's family. Just like you say, my family comes before the rest of my city. So why would I have any thought that it should be any different? So Amar of Nachman, Amar Lihuna, Lo Nitzricha Da'afilu L'Nachri B'Ribis Eli Yisrael B'Chinam. Now, the point is that even where, by lending to the Jew, you engage in this economic suicide that we call interest-free loans, whereas if you lend to the non-Jew, you're going to survive economically, nonetheless, the loan to the Jew still comes first. That's the idea. I should note, I brought it for you on the sheet, when we talk about doing this for survival, Kidei Chayav, the Meiri writes in Source Yud, Kidei Chayav means Kidei Chayav. When he says, you're not supposed to lend money to non-Jews and charge interest, however you're allowed to for the sake of your survival, that means literally, as he writes at the end of Source Yud, La'achila v'lo l'schora, only to the extent that you need it in order to survive. You can't say, I'm going to engage in any business on this. That's one point. The other point I wanted to note is that usually we read these as two separate heterim. Meaning, I'm not supposed to lend money to non-Jews and charge interest, lest I learn from them by hanging out with them, and we're going to come back to that later. But I'm allowed to either for the sake of my minimal survival, or if I become a Talmid Chacham. Presumably, I have to go to the basin and ask them. We don't want people sort of self-branding as Talmidei Chachamim. But I have to be a Talmid Chacham. However, it's worth noting that the Rashba quotes Rabbeinu Chananel in Source Yud Aleph, saying no, you need both of these heterim together. It's permitted only for a Talmud Chacham who is doing it for the sake of survival. That's it. And if you look in the Gedulei Truma, it's also worth seeing there on Memvav Gimel Gimel. But that's not the way that it's generally read. Also, in terms of the second heter, the Ika the Amri, where we said that you prioritize the Jew, even if it means sacrificing ribbis. So the Marbet Torah quoted in the Bris Yehuda's Perek Lamed Ha'Araches, says once it becomes significant, then you are allowed to prioritize the loan with ribbis. And is significant is Shava Pruta.
That's not right.
It can't be right. But I don't have a Marbet Torah with me, so I don't know. No, it's not. I don't have Ozer. I don't know what. It's not a Kosev. This is Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. And the Shaar Mishpat on Choshen Mishpat Tzadi Zayin says you don't need to give up a large profit for it. But he doesn't say what large is. But as Rav Asher Weiss would say, they didn't deal in percentages. You'll know it when you see it. They figure out what percentage Torah is. Right. Prove that really shouldn't be it. Right. Okay. Take a look at my procedure here. It's Perek Lamed Araches. I don't know what to make of it.
I didn't download the Marbet Torah yesterday.
Okay.
I don't understand, but it's an interesting just to go out. You don't have the whole point of the Zerim and the Ravana about the Yaakov
code
before
Anyaakov. Yeah.
And so on. Is that.
Well, that's
Zerim
Zakas.
Sorry. Yeah. Anyaakov before Anyaakov. All right, this code.
Yes. No, that's also Xerah Zakas.
Yeah. So what's he talking about in terms of where you can give up?
Because the answer is that pasuk is not speaking about where it's now going to harm you economically. It's saying if you won't suffer by doing so.
Yes, on the Hebrew books.
Yeah. It is? Okay, good. Take a look. See what he says. Explain it to me if you can. But yeah, that's what he says. I understand that it sounds strange. It sounds like you've taken the teeth out of the law.
Yeah,
you're living your dog around something that's against the custom. Yeah. But this is what he says. Ubisefer Marba Torah wrote Salomar, de Beribis Shava Pruta Enotzarech Lahafsid. Okay? In any case. Yeah. In any case, the upshot of what we've said so far, because we spent half an hour on this, we didn't even get to the hard stuff. What we've seen is the psukim emphasize brethren, right? That's what we emphasize. Not the akum, and for all the reasons that we spent our first 10 minutes discussing. It may even be a mitzvah to lend to them for interest. We say lanochri sashich. So the way the Rambam reads this, and I brought it for you in source Yud Beis, is indeed that it is a mitzvah, like an act of mitzvah. Ha'akum v'ger toshav loven mehenu malvin osen beribis shnemar lo sashich liachicha. He says you lend to them and you borrow from them and so on. La'achicha asur l'shar ha'olam muter. Umitzvas asei lahashich lahakum. He says it is a mitzvah asei for you to do this with them. Shnemar lanochri tashich. Presumably this means tashich as in to extend the loan charging ribis, not to pay them ribis. He's going with the JPS translation. That's the Rambam's take, is that this actually is a mitzvah. There are those who discuss the fact that he brought lanochri tashich. Take a look at the Kesef Mishnah, the Mishnah Lemelech, the Urayim quoted in the Tshuvas Maimonios on Mishpatim Lamidvav, the Tur. They all discuss the Rambam's choice of pasuk of lo sashich, but don't worry about it right now. The question is, when the Rambam says this, what does he mean? Does he mean this is actually a mitzvah? Like, go out and do it? Like, I have a dollar in my pocket, and I want to do a mitzvah with it, so I should go out and lend, you know, go looking for an akum who wants to borrow a dollar so I can charge him $1.10 to pay me back? And the problem with that, we've already seen. We have a gzeirah derabbanan in our Gemara not to lend them and charge them interest. If there's a mitzvah, by what right did we just cancel it with a gzeirah derabbanan? This isn't shofar on Shabbos. How dare you? That was a joke. That's its own discussion. But take a look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin. I see you, Jerry. Just hold on. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Chafayim with Beis Source Yigimel, says Malva Beribis. It's talking about who's disqualified for Edus. So Malva Beribis is disqualified from testifying. Echad Malva Echad Alova, whether the lender or the borrower. And then it says Ve'imasei Chazarasan, what it's called doing tshuva from lending people money for interest. Mishayikru Eshtarein V'yachzu Ben Chazara Gemara. Once they tear up their documents, they tear up their bills, and they completely recant. This means the lender, not the borrower. And afilu lenachri lamosvi, and they won't even lend money to a non-Jew for interest. But the Rambam thinks it's a mitzvah. I don't understand. The Gemara in Makos, source Yudalid, on that classic pasuk in Tehillim Tezvav, Kaspola Nasan Beneshech, right? We're describing a great person who does not give money for Neshech, Afilu Beribis Ove Kochavim, even to an Akum. But the Rambam thinks it's a mitzvah. How in the world can you do that? This is a very big problem. So there are two approaches. The one approach is the approach of the Merkavas HaMishnah. And he shows that the Rambam indeed reads this into the Sifri. And I brought you the Merkavas HaMishnah, but in the interest of time, I'm not going to go through it. But you have it in Source Tezvav. I brought you the relevant part of the Merkavas HaMishnah. That's the wording of our Gemara, and that's what the Rambam is sticking with. However, the Bach gives the simpler answer, and the Bach simply says what the Rambam is talking about is a mitzvah kiyumit, not a mitzvah chiyuvit. The mitzvah is not go out and find people to loan money to. The mitzvah is, if you are engaging in a loan with them, you shall charge ribis and not to your brethren. That would be the way to take it, whereas the Ravid, and then I come to Jerry and then to Pesach, the Ravid says you're all wrong, because that's his job. He says, Ani lo matzasi shmuzu. When the Rambam says that we've learned that it's actually a mitzvah saseh, he says, I haven't found anywhere that says that. And he says, I think the Rambam misunderstood the Sifri. Uperusha, what does it mean? It means what we read when we read it. Mishum dahavale lava bamichlala se shalo yashich li Yisrael. All the Sifri is trying to tell me is that it's telling me lanochri tashich, not to a Jew. And it's really just meant to add, and the Gemara said it, it's really meant to add a level of severity regarding interest loans with Jews. It's not meant to say anything about non-Jews. Yeah, the Gemara really seemed to be very straightforward. It's kind of surprising. Yes, Jerry.
So when he said, when the Rambam says Mipi HaShmuel, he's talking about the Zifri?
Yes. And it seems clear that he's talking about the Zifri, and that's the Rambam's conclusion, and really there's nowhere else for him to go. So it does sound like Pesach.
I don't know the box view that it's cubes versus cubes makes it cozy. At the end of the day, we have a mitzvah as cubes. So if you're wearing Malach Kavdus, then you should wear Tzitzis.
Because the Malach told Rav Katina to.
It also doesn't necessarily reconcile anything.
The Malach told Rav Katina that he should, but Rav Katina otherwise wouldn't have done it.
On Tzitzis?
Yeah, on Tzitzis.
It does not help. It doesn't help.
I mean, I'm not saying Mr. Humus is bad, but the way that the Bach looks at it is like Shechita. If you want to eat meat, go ahead and share.
But the Shaila is, how do you take a fine Mitzvah Sasek Humus, and abrogate and say, no, you don't want to do that Mitzvah Sasek Humus? If I told you,
no, what we're saying is don't engage in loans, and therefore you won't come to this. In other words, yeah. In other words, if Shechita were bad for some reason, okay? If Shechita were... So I would say so go vegetarian. That's all. Yes, you were going to say from the Marbet Zohar, what do you got?
It's two things. One is that he says, right, he suggests that Kadimus just means if you have enough money to lend to both of them, you should give the loan to the Jew and then go lend the Rivas.
Okay, which is clearly not what we're talking about.
Not the extension.
It's not clearly enough, but I don't think it's one. Okay,
no, it's not. And then he says, yeah, that's only...
Ishalakruta.
Right. The Dafka Medavar Mu'ad Kain. And then he's talking about who Revach Meruba Ains for Allah Hakdin the Israel.
Yeah, but does he say Shavapruta or is it Dabar Mu'ad? Because Dabar Mu'ad is still more than a Pruta. I don't understand Shavapruta. I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, that's Kidehaya.
Yeah, there he is. The Yesh Makom Lof Ma'alath is that the Dafka Shurvish Yigach Ma'akom Hupachal Shavapruta.
Okay, that's all the discussion about Shepherd's Mama. All right, that's what he wrote. That's all he wrote. Okay, so the upshot of this again is that we're saying that it seems straightforward that you're allowed to charge them interest. It may even be a mitzvah of some kind. The Rambam Chiyuvis or Chiyumis, or the way I read it, more likely, frankly, is the Ravid's way, which is what the Gemara seemed. But everybody agrees that our Gemara, which we saw, says there's a rabbinic prohibition. I am not allowed to engage in loans with interest to them. There's a separate issue, by the way, completely separate in halacha, which I didn't go into here, about even if you are charging them interest, not charging them usurious interest. Not at a high level, but that's a whole other discussion, which I really should have done here, but there wasn't any room.
It's outside of the case there may be a breach.
Yeah.
But if you were lending to Nochrim and having nothing to do with them in socially,
yeah,
that would change the whole equation.
So that's part of our discussion. That's where we're going. The concern in the Gemara is hello. The concern is Shema Yilmod Mimasav, lest you learn from him. Rashi here makes a comment which I would have taken one way, but some take a different way. Rashi in Source Yud Zion on Kedei Chayav says Hitirulo, they permitted it for survival. The Yosimikan Asur Midrabanan, more than that is rabbinically prohibited. Dilma Asil Misrach, lest you be drawn after him. Samach Reishcha, to be drawn at like a sircha on a lung, right? A lesion. Where something is adhering to a lesion, really, an adhesion, something that's stuck to it. So to hear, lest you cling to him. Now, I would have taken this to mean, the way that we generally read the Gemara, which is, lest you behave like him. Meaning, I'm going to hang out with him, I'm going to come to learn from him. However, the Mishnah Lamelech on the Rambam in Hey Aleph thinks that he means, lest you come to lend money and charge interest to Jews. Because you lent to non-Jews, you might also learn from this interaction with a non-Jew and lend money to Jews as well. His basis for saying that is because the phrase is used in Ayin Hayim at Aleph when they talk about not engaging in loans with interest with your children, when you want to teach them about the hazards, because there it says, the Masil Misrach, he might actually say, this is a great business model, and decide he's going to lend money on interest. So the Mishnah Lamelech thinks that's what Rashi believes. Also see the Sefer Atrumos, Memvav, Dalid, Beis, but the general approach is not this way. The general approach is that you're going to learn from the Akum's general behavior, and here I'll add a side note. Rabbi Zirin kindly referred me to the conversion account given by Herman of the Converts, formerly Judah ben David Alevi in the 12th century. Now, there's a lot of debate as to whether that account is actually real. I mean, it exists, but whether the account is authentic, in the sense that it could be this was a Christian polemic meant to encourage conversion. So here is a story of a Jew in his own words describing how he came to convert to our religion. That I can give you references to all sorts of studies that have been done and discussions of this. But in any case, within the text itself, he describes how he came to convert. So first he describes how he had a dream when he was a kid, and the dream foretold what he was going to end up doing. But he ended up lending money to a local bishop, and he did not demand collateral. And his family yelled at him and said, you know, the bishop's a busy man. He's going to forget there ever was such a loan. You better go to him and stay with him until he pays you back. And so he does. And he ends up staying with the bishop for 20 weeks, during which time he learns all about Christianity. So here you have an example of Shema Yilmod Mimaasav, at least hypothetically.
That's the principle of the loan and not the interest. You
know? Correct. That wasn't because of interest at all. Well, we know there would have been no interest. Yeah, this is true. So the idea is you're not allowed to do the Shema Yilmod Mimaasav. We give you an exception if you are broke and you need food. So fine, then you're allowed to do it. And the other exception is the Talmid Chacham. Why is the Talmid Chacham, why is he invulnerable? So the Rambam writes in Parakei Halacha Beis, I brought it for you in Source Yates, the Talmud Chacham, it's the second half of it, the Talmud Chacham, she'eno ragil bo lo mori masav, mutter lahavos lakum beribis afil laharviach. He doesn't hang out with the Akum, and therefore it's going to be okay. I should note the first half of what the Rambam says, where he points out this concern is only about if you are the lender, not if you are the borrower. Because the borrower doesn't want to hang out with the lender. Right? The borrower wants to get as far away as possible from the lender, lest the lender say to him, will you pay me now? So he says, you're okay borrowing, but if you're lending, you're going to be going to him like this fellow in the real order or fictional account. And that's the concern for regular people, but a Talmud Chacham is not going to go hang out with the Akum. The Sefer HaTrumos in Mem Vav, Dalet Beis, says, Hamidei Chachamim Zerizim Heim. V'leragilo Atzman B'davar Ha'aser. He says, that's not why. It's because Hamidei Chachamim are Zariz. We're energetic. We're alacritous. We are not going to, either, as the Sefer HaTrumos thinks, he thinks Asil Mistrach means you're going to come to lend, and he says, you won't come to lend. But the way we take it is that it's concerned about learning from his deeds. Talmud Chacham isn't going to learn from his deeds. Side note, Pesach will particularly appreciate this. We saw the same concern when we learned Erevin 2 years ago. We learned about Erev Chatzeros. Erev Chatzeros means I have a yard where I have many people, residents of the yard. We are required to merge our properties with a joint meal as part of being able to transport there on Shabbos. So the Gemara in Erev in Samach Beizim at Aleph explains that an Erev Chatzeros doesn't work if it's a yard where Jews and non-Jews reside. Why? Shema Yilmod Mimasav. Lest the Jew learn from the non-Jew's behavior. You need to actually rent his property to what's called a Schiris Rishus in order to permit transport. And in fact, any community that has what we term an Eruv always has a Schiris Rishus. You actually rent access. But the question that's asked is, why is it regarding Eruvin we don't have the leniencies that we have here? The Mishum Kedei Chayav, I needed to live here in order to survive, I'm a Talmud Chacham, we don't find that for Erevin either. Or, as we're going to see in Tosfos, we have a blanket permission today for Ribbis with non-Jews, as we'll get to. That certainly doesn't exist, we think, for Erev Chatzeros. Why? So in fact, the Maram Shik, which I brought you here in Source Chav Beis, the Maram Shik asks the question of why we distinguish between Ribbis and Erev in terms of modern permission, and he leaves it as Sarachiyun. Yeah, good question. One answer is in the Nachlas Tzvi. The Nachlas Tzvi on the Daf in Yeridea Kufnantes notes that the Rambam said that the Talmud Chacham is going to hang out with the non-Jew. That's why the Ribbis, he has a Ribbis Heter, right? But when it comes to Erev Chatzeros, you're living next door. What do you mean you're not going to hang out with him? He's your neighbor. You mow your lawn, he mows his lawn. Well, they probably didn't do lawns. But your kids play, you take a bath, all the things that you do out in your yard, you're doing right there. So the Nachlas Tzvi says the Heter simply doesn't apply. That doesn't explain Kedei Chayav, but it explains Talmud Chacham. Another approach is the approach taken by the Das Torah of Shwadron. On Archaim Shin Pei Beis, he actually says, you're right. I gave you a link to it there. It's on Otzer. In Source Chavdalid, he says you actually could use the Bechdei Chayev argument for Erev Chatzeros. Meaning, if that's the only place where you can live, then yes, you're allowed to live with him in the yard and you can transport in the yard if you can't do a Schiris Rishus. So he actually is open to applying the head there. But that's a side note, but I think a worthwhile one. There's more to see on that. Ayin Shum, or I don't know, Tazin Shum, the recordings from when we did Erev Chatzeros. The bottom line is that I have indeed an Issa D'Rabbanan, lest I learn from his deeds, and I have a couple of heterim. I should note another heter is that this only applies, the Gzera only applies with Ribbis Del Raisa, Ribbis Kitsutsa. This does not apply when it comes to Ribbis D'Rabbanan. The Rambam writes, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Avak Ribbis is fine. Why is this fine? Are we still not concerned about Shema Yomod Masav? Who cares if it's Ribbis D'Rabbanan? I'm going to learn from him anyway. So the Sefer HaTrumos, Memvav Gimel Gimel, says, yeah, it's Gzera L'Gzera. But the Gedulei Truma says, what are you talking about? It's all one Gzera, Shema Yomod Masav. So Gedulei Truma gives a different answer on that, on Memvav Gimel Gimel, and I brought it here on the sheet, but at this point we're so close to the end that I'm just going to point to you. It's in Source Chafe. He says it's because the main case of Ribbis D'Rabbanan is Derech Mekach. That's the normal case of Ribbis D'Rabbanan, right? Even though we have other cases that we've discussed. Nonetheless, he claims the normal case of Ribbis D'Rabbanan is Derech Mekach, meaning I buy goods off of Corey, but I can't pay him yet. So I say to him, listen, it's $100 now, so for every week that I'm late, I'll add an extra $10. That's Ribbis D'Rabbanan because it's Derech Mekach. That's the main distinction between Ribbis Kitsutsa and Avak Ribbis. So he says, look, we permit commerce with non-Jews. We don't have a gzera of Shema Yomi Masav not to engage in commerce with him. So therefore, we also won't prohibit Ribbis, which is Derech Mekach, which is via commerce. And therefore, we will permit it with Avak Ribbis as a whole. I thought that was interesting. The Prisha gives a different answer for why it's okay. The Prisha in Source Chavav says it's not as guaranteed. I think he's thinking of Ribbis Milcheres, right, as opposed to Ribbis Kitsutsa. Ribbis Kitsutsa, right, it's fixed from the beginning when the loan is set, whereas Ribbis Milcheres, where after the loan has already been initiated, then he comes and says, you know, I'll pay you an extra whatever it is to extend it. It's a less guaranteed form of interest, and therefore you won't stick with the akum. That's another idea. Okay. So what's a Jew to do? Meaning, what if you don't think you're a Talmud Chacham, right? Or you lost your card, you know, saying you're a Talmud Chacham, and it's not Kedei Chayav. I have food to eat. Am I now stuck? So the Rambam says yes. The Rambam, we already saw it in Perek HaAlacha Beis, you see it here as well. The Rambam says, yeah, you have two heterim, Kedei Chayav and Talmud Chacham. Those are your options. That's it. But most follow Tosfos to say that it is indeed mutter. And here we get the big Tosfos, Source Chavches. Umashenogu atala habos lenachrim. Regarding our current practice, right, 12th, 13th century, Western Europe, we lend money to non-Jews with interest. Omer Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam gives you three reasons. First of all, Mishum de Bishalso from Halacha Haramekil. This is a Derabbanan, right, this Gezerah. And so we'll follow the lenient view. And he says, we saw two different versions of what Rav Huna was saying in the Gemara. Right, the first version of what Rav Huna was saying was that he was talking about lending with ribbis to non-Jews and saying you could only do it if it's Talmud Chacham, whatever. But the second version that was that Rav Huna was talking about just prioritizing who comes first. The non-Jew with ribbis or the Jew without. And he says, Tosfo says, these two versions are in conflict. So you know what? I'll be Mekil. I'll follow the second version of Rav Huna. That's his first. That's his first justification. His second justification: Va'afilu l'lishna kama. Even if you take the first view of Rav Huna, yesh lahatir l'fisha yesh aleinu mas melach v'sarim. He says, you know, we have such terrible tax burdens that we have to pay. Va'kol havi kidei chayenu, and everything. everything we do in business is for the sake of survival. We're living day to day, so it really is kedei chayav. That's his second answer, and then his third answer is ve'osh anu shvim bein ha'umos. We live among the nations anyway. Ve'efsher lanu lehistaker b'shum davarim lo nisa v'nita nimayim. And he says we couldn't get anywhere if we didn't engage in regular commerce. Forget loans. So he says, it's a joke to say you can't lend him money and charge interest so you won't hang out with him. But in the meantime, you're going to sell him goods, you're going to buy goods from him. What kind of a game are you playing? That's the going back to your point, Jerry. It's silly. He says it's a fiction anyway. So why are we sustaining the fiction and causing people to go broke? Let them engage in the loans. Yeah.
Talmud Chacham.
Yeah.
If you didn't go into that too much. But you know, you have the Gemara in Kedushin, Menashe Ani Talmud Chacham, right? And you have like very minimal requirements.
So the definition of Talmud Chacham in the Gemara is fluid. Meaning that in different sugyos it actually means different things.
Right. Yeah.
You're not going to test him on Maseches Kala and say, oh, okay, that means he says Talmud Chacham or Masechta Dikala or the various different iterations of explanations on that Gemara. You're right. It requires explanation. But here's a very interesting question that comes up. If your heter is Rabbeinu Tam, right? So Rabbeinu Tam gave you three reasons. First, I take the other statement of Rav Huna. Second, you need it to survive. And third, you're engaged with non-Jews all day anyway, right? So the third point isn't going to be relevant for people who live in an all-Jewish community or in a majority Jewish community. I don't know, what if you live in Israel in a community where you're not dealing regularly with Israeli Arabs? So does this really apply to you? So the Bris Yehuda actually writes that it's in Perek Lamed Ha'ara Gimel. He indicates that the Mordechai thinks the heter is really because of Mishum Kedei Chayav, for survival. And therefore it'll work even for Israelis. I have to admit that I hunted throughout the Mordechai and the Haggos Mordechai, and I did not find anything in the Mordechai that made me think that the heter is really because of Kedei Chayav. In fact, there's Haggos Mordechai, Taf Lameches, where he just quotes Rabbeinu Tam verbatim, all three heterims. I don't know what he's talking about.
And why does he think that the Kedei Chayav would work? Are there back-breaking taxes that you can only
in Israel?
You tell me
that you can, and you can, yes. And the only job that you have is lending with interest. Mm-hmm. Is what was going on in medieval Europe?
He's right. A witness here.
He's also a witness.
Yes.
But there are other jobs you can get.
Okay. The Kedei Chayav requires two things. One is it requires great burdens, but the other is that it requires that this is the way you have to survive.
He's saying that the third explanation is a variation of Kedei Chayav.
Yes. It is. It's really the second. Hakol Havi Kedei Chayav. Right. Not the third. Not the third. No, but the third is the one that's we're living among non-Jews and doing commerce with them anyway. Yeah, so he said the third falls away.
Okay.
But the Bris Yehuda's point is, yeah, but the second one still applies. That's his argument. The tour, interestingly, only brings issue number 3. I brought it in Source Chavtes. He says, V'ha'idna, right? Today, it's because we engage in commerce with them anyway. He only brings the commerce with Akum, in which case you really would have a problem in Israel. But even within the Matirim, it really isn't considered a good thing. The Chachmas Adam I brought you as an illustration in Source Lamed says, you know, I'd really rather that you not do this. Ra'ui l'chol ish yashar holeich b'imafshar lo sheyimna gam me'avaz akum v'yashlech al Hashem yahavo. He says it really would be better for people to refrain, even if you have this heter.
Is there an interesting geographical distribution of the...
Right, I didn't look to see.
This was the Jews' bread and butter in certain areas.
Correct, I did not look to see.
Is there a difference at a corporation level, if you have banks?
So that's where we have to go, although I will say right now... I will say right now that the banks have so many other heterim that it doesn't become such an issue. But that's the question that comes up in the 19th century, 18th to 19th century. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is the first one to address it, and so on. But yes, this does come up. Alright, we have 6 minutes. So what I'm gonna do is a quick job with Mumer and then throw banks into next week with Arev. Because that's the only way this is gonna work. So in terms of Mumer, The mumar is the Jew has rejected something. What is it that he has rejected? So the Torah writes in Source Lamed Aleph, mumar shekafar bi'ikar. If a mumar has denied the essence, he doesn't believe in God, is the way I will translate kafar bi'ikar right now. Mutar lahalvoso beribis. You're allowed to lend him money and charge interest. Why? Kamen shein on a mitzvah lachayoso. I don't have a mitzvah of keeping him alive. V'aser lo vosi menu beribis, but I'm not allowed to borrow money from him for interest. Da'avu bishachata yisraelu. Because he's still a Jew. And therefore, v'anos nolo over mishum b'lifnei iver. It is, he is still under lifnei iver. I can't put a stumbling block in front of him by giving him interest. However, he's not under keep him alive, and therefore I'm allowed to lend with him and charge interest. That's the position that the Beis Yosef takes. But first, just note, he defines mumar as kofer bi'ikar. The Beis Yosef comments on that, and he says, you should know, when it says shekafer bi'ikar, he's just trying to be simple with his language. Milsa de psikta. He gives you a very clear-cut case. Avalhu adin, the second line of Lamed Beis, avalhu adin dafil lo kofer bi'ikar. It's true even if he's not someone who denies everything. Ela sha'ochel nebelo fahachis. But if he does one avera, let's say he eats treif, in order to cause anger to God, I'm going to antagonize God. I could eat either one. They're both equally expensive. They're both equally good. But I'm choosing the treif. He says at that point already he's out of lahachayosa. That's the position of the Beis Yosef. The Shach disagrees in Source Lamed Gimel, and Poskim tend to follow the Shach on this, according to the Bris Yehuda in Lamed Yud. We follow the Shach, who says no. Mumar lahachis means specifically somebody who has left everything. Sheyatza min haklal. That's the way the Shach reads it. So this person who has left the klal, what are the rules? The Shulchan Aruch says in Source Lamed Dalid, you are allowed to lend to him, you are not allowed to borrow from him with ribbis. That's the Mechaber's position. We have two different ways to explain why you're allowed to lend to him. The one approach is the Ramban. Ramban says it's because he's no longer called Achicha in Source Lamed Hey. He's not called Achicha, he's not called your brother. The tour, which we saw in Lamed Aleph, gave a different explanation.
You don't have a mitzvah.
Right? He said, I have a mitzvah of Lahachayosu, of keeping him alive. The Bris Yehuda asked, well, what happened to Lifnei Iver? Why isn't it a problem with Naiver to lend to him and charge him interest? He's not supposed to give you interest. And he says, no. It's only the borrower is only in violation for paying ribis if the lender is not allowed to lend him. If the lender is allowed to lend him and charge interest, then the borrower is not guilty of lifnei for giving him interest. So therefore, there's no issue of lifnei. That's not an issue. But that's the position of the Mechaber, is you're allowed to lend to him. The Ramah says, some say don't do that. And it would be better, frankly, if people would follow that position. He says, Yesh machmir nafamumur lahavoso, v'tov lahachmir mafshir lihishamed mimenu. It would be better if you could avoid it, for you to avoid it altogether. Don't lend to him and charge him interest. Even though he's coming after you, like I said an hour ago, right? He's coming after you saying, I want to borrow money and I want to pay you interest. Better for you to avoid it if he can.
Which is the same thing we say about a non-Jew anyway, so.
Well, that's true, but I don't think his concern is Shema Yilmod.
No.
I don't think that's his concern.
Right.
Just because we're down to 2 minutes, I want to make sure to get the last 2 minutes in. The Shulchan Aruch says, you're allowed to lend to him. The Ramah says, better not. The Shulchan Aruch also says, you're not allowed to borrow from him with ribis. Why am I not allowed to borrow from him with ribis? So the Shach writes in Source Lamed Vav, Mishum lo tashich u'mishum lifnei iver lo site michshol. So leaving aside lifnei iver, which we've talked about, because of lo tashich, meaning the pasuk says, lachicha lo tashich, so therefore I should not borrow from him with interest, because then I am taking lo tashich as pay, right, pay ribis, then I will be paying interest to my brother. So the question is, does that really apply? So Rabbi Akiva Eger says, not if you take the Ramban, right? Ramban said that he isn't achicha, right? So if he's not achicha, then achicha lo tashich does not apply. That's Rabbi Akiva Eger's position. But the Shulchan Aruch HaRav disagrees, and he says something which I don't really understand. So I did what I do when I don't understand something, which is I just brought it on the page and let his words speak for themselves. He says, Avalubos menu beribis, borrowing money on interest, that you're not allowed to do. Even though the mumar is not called a brother to us, anu nechshavim achim etzlo, we are considered brothers to him. And therefore, we are commanded not to, I'm sorry, he is commanded not to take neshach from us. Because even though he sinned, he's still a Jew, and therefore he is subject to the mitzvos. Then therefore, you are guilty of bal tashich in the event that you are going to charge him interest, because you are causing him to pay us interest, and he's not allowed to pay us interest. Did you understand that? Yeah. No, that's true. I am not allowed to borrow from him with ribbis. That's correct. That's what he said.
But then we said the Torah already said that.
But the problem is that your rationale is the achicha rationale. Aside from lifnei iver, your argument is achicha. Ramban told you he isn't achicha.
So you should get rid of everything.
Yeah. He's not achicha. So the answer is he's not achicha to you, but he is achicha as far as he's concerned.
But you're achicha to him.
You are achicha to him. And therefore he is guilty. I guess I do hear it, but it's funny.
You never leave the gate of a Jew, and you never leave the gate.
This is like this is the answer to a riddle that you can't ask anybody. When is someone your brother, but you are not his brother? Oh, a mumer in Hilchos Ribbis. Sure.
He's assuming that ach is a definition of a good Jew rather than it being an expression of relational relation.
Yes.
That's the
Okay, so what we've seen is that the Midyar Raisa, clearly you're allowed to charge them interest. We saw all the explanations for why, and the Meiri applying or not applying his different distinctions among categories of people who aren't Jewish. We said it may even be a mitzvah, which is the way that the Rambam reads the Sifri, whether chiyuvit or kiyumit, whether one you have to go out and do, or just if you're lending to him, charge him interest, versus the read of the Ravid, which I think fits the Gemara very well, which is that it's simply another line saying don't engage in ribbis with Jews. Regardless of whether it's mutter or mitzvah, everybody agrees there is indeed a gzeret derabanan, lest you learn from him, whether that means don't learn from him to lend with interest, or don't learn from him in terms of his general conduct. Case of Herman, potentially, Judah/Herman, the Talmud Chacham is not vulnerable. Either he won't hang out with him, or even if he is with him, he won't learn from him. We had the same concern with Erev Chatzeros, but that may be different if only because in the Erev Chatzeros you can't get away from him. You're living next door to him, but there is the Das Torah's position borrowing from the Ribbis Heterim to Erev Chatzeros. We said that Avak Ribbis will be mutter with the non-Jew, even within this Gezerah. And we said that the Rambam says you only have these Heterim which we've defined. However, most others say mutter, like the position of Rabbeinu Tam, that for his three reasons, either to be Mekel the Rabban and follow the second Rav Huna, or because everything is Kedei Chayav, or we're going to engage in business with them anyway. And the last bit, we had the possible argument that a Mumer may not be in this category if a Mumer is somebody who drops everything according to the Shach, or even just one thing to cause antagonism if you take the view of the Beis Yosef. There is more to be said. God willing, we're going to come back to this next week in the beginning of Arev, talking about banks. Have a great Shabbos, good Chodesh.